Hello and welcome. I'm Michelle Bursell, and I want to welcome you to my online global seminar, The Three Secrets to Creating Your Ideal Relationship. And if you don't yet know me, I am a psychotherapist and author of the best-selling book, Feel. Feel Every Emotion is Love, which 2 weeks after its release was selected as a featured gift at the 2012 Emmy Awards. And my first book, Emotional Abundance, created national recognition as one of the 50 great authors you should be reading. And over the past 8 years, I've had the privilege of working with people from all corners of the globe. And although initially many of these people were coming to speak with me about improving their emotional well-being, what I quickly found was that they were seeking support with their relationships. And time after time, I've had requests for support around how to navigate each person's relationship needs, because sharing your needs doesn't have to create more conflict or distance that most of us have experienced in the past. What I've found is that most people, and most of the pain, I should say, that we feel is coming from the wrong approach. So if we're feeling pain, it's because we're approaching this in a way that isn't serving us and our relationship. And there's a different way that I found through my own experiences that I am so excited to share with you today. And whether you are in your relationship and it's brand new, and you're hopeful, yet deep inside you find yourself being a little hesitant that things may not turn out, or they'll turn out as they have in the past, or you've been in your current relationship for numerous years, maybe even decades, but are struggling to have the depth of connection that you desire, I honor you that you want to know how to create your ideal relationship. Just think for a minute how loving that is, that you care that much for your relationship and your partner and for you to live a life that fulfills you. And if this is the type of person that you are, that cares so much about your relationship and your partner, I want you to know that I've created this call just for you, so that you can have the understandings that I wish I had known earlier in my own life. And if I may begin by taking a moment to talk about what you may be currently experiencing in your relationship, I invite you to reflect and see if any of these fit you. So right now, you may be confused as to why neither you or your partner can share your needs without upsetting one another. You may also feel frustrated that you have tried so many different approaches, sometimes loving, other times more direct, but nothing really changes in the long term. You may feel that overall your relationship is fine, but you want more than fine. You want love and passion, and you may feel even a little bit guilty for that because your partner really is a good person. You may feel hurt about the disconnection you feel, and maybe even hopeless at times if the love and connection you desire to feel will ever come back or even occur in your relationship. And perhaps you're a little afraid that if you were to push things any more in your relationship, it would only get worse, and you don't want to risk rocking the boat anymore. You may at times feel rejected or misunderstood when all you desperately want is for the two of you to feel closer. You may also feel somewhat ashamed and keep your relationship challenges to yourself because you don't think other friends or family will understand, or worse, you do tell those that you're close to, but in a way where you joke about it, even though deep down it isn't funny to you. And you know this is serious. If any of these experiences sound like you, I want you to know you are in the right place. And in this call, I'm going to give you a lot of support with these circumstances, because I know what it's like to have your relationship needs go unmet. In some ways, my story is all too common, but there is a bit of a twist. I was once in a relationship with a really good man, and I gave the relationship every ounce of me that I knew how. You see, prior to meeting this man, I couldn't get a date to save my life. For 2 years straight, I was dateless. And that, quite honestly, made me quite lonely. So when I met this man, who seemed to have it all, I wanted to give this relationship my best. I wanted to be everything for him. And intellectually, I knew he loved me, but in my heart, I didn't fully feel it. As much as I would try to hold in my feelings because I didn't want to be too needy, at times my emotions, which tended to be tears or yelling, would flood out. And then both my partner and myself would be overwhelmed. I would try to share with him my needs. And it felt like I was just banging my head against a wall. And I'm sure he felt the same. Although in a few short months, we were to be married, I canceled the caterer, lost the deposits, and we ended our relationship. It was one of the most excruciating things I had to do. But it reached a point where I released feeling invisible and alone within a relationship. Because feeling that way is actually worse than being alone and feeling alone. In other words, being in a relationship and feeling alone felt more painful than being alone by myself. Now, this is where some sort of miracle occurred for me, because at the time I had very little self-esteem, but somehow after our engagement ended, I got really, really, really angry. And instead of blaming myself that I wasn't enough, or that I was unlovable because I was too needy or too this or too that, I actually stood up for myself. And I decided he was the crazy one for letting me slip away. Now, all of this is actually a normal reaction after a breakup if you've got some self-esteem within yourself, because we either get sad or angry or both. But here's the twist. In that moment, I decided no matter what, I was going to have all my relationships need met the next time I got into a relationship. Having my relationship needs met was no longer an option. And I swore to myself in that moment that if I were ever to be in a relationship again, I wanted to feel deeply loved, cherished, and honored. And of course, I wanted to give the same to my beloved, because that's what I had to give. That's what was aching to come through me. And I didn't just want this in the beginning of my relationship. I didn't want it to ever end. And if it did, I could no longer, in my heart of hearts, remain in the relationship. Let me just tell you, when I shared that with people, they thought I was insane. They told me straight out that what I wanted did not exist. And I will tell you, I did not care. Because I swore to myself, regardless that what anyone else thinks, that if I were to be in a relationship again, it would have to be that way. Now, I will say that I had something going for me. I have never, ever felt jaded towards men. Even when I felt suckered punched in a relationship, I just felt it was about that person and not because he happened to be a guy. I've always loved men and found men to be deeply caring and loving people, as I do women. So I knew that even though the general population may not want to love, honor, and cherish me for the rest of my life, there had to at least be one person who did, and who would enjoy doing it at the level that I desired to experience. Well, I met that person 3 weeks after I ended my engagement, and he has always been a partner who goes above and beyond my expectations. And as you can see, I've got high expectations, but it's something that we give to each other. And it's not like we haven't had our challenges. We have. First of all, we did the instant family thing where we had 3 kids in 18 months. So that's a challenge. And we struggled with our jobs, and we had issues with a house reconstruction, and we were 6 figures in debt. We know what real stress is, and yet we remained in love. The most challenging piece we have had to address is when one of us grows. And there tends to be one in a partnership who is more into their personal growth than the other. And that's not in any way trying to put down our partner. They certainly bring other gifts to the table. And they may bring personal development gifts, but they may not be as into the relationship piece. But if you're the person on this call, just know that your own growth is one of the major gifts that you bring to the table in your relationship. And your interest in this relationship piece right now is a gift to your relationship. And the beauty is that the more you do the inner work that you're doing, you know that you're stepping more into the truth of who you are. It's just that your relationship doesn't know how to connect from this deeper truth, because that's not usually where your relationship began, because we always are growing and evolving. We're not the same person who we were yesterday, let alone years ago. And when this happens, it can feel like your partner isn't quite getting you, how you desire to be understood. And I get this because my husband and I have been together for almost 20 years. And so it's when you're at this place, when you feel like your partner isn't quite getting you, how you desire to be understood, that this is where the danger comes in. Because people on their own personal journey tend to be quite independent. And this is when you may start going your own way, not realizing you're leaving your partner behind on some level. Now, to be fair to you, it starts off very innocently, where you are just going where your heart takes you, whether it's to a coach, a mentor, a therapist, or you're being pulled into a personal development workshop or a yoga retreat. You know as well as I do that you want these things to feed your soul. The problem is that unknowingly a deeper chasm starts to form between you and your partner, if you aren't aware. And on one level, it feels like it's no big deal. And perhaps from your personal development work, you're even fighting less in your relationship. You're like, doesn't seem to be any challenges coming up. But the connection that you yearn for, the love, the desire, the passion, it's not there. Or at least not at the level that your heart is yearning to experience. What I didn't realize was how our relationship was becoming more and more unusual the longer my husband and I were together. friends and strangers would ask us how we have been together. And they were especially curious because they knew I was in this personal development world, and they knew my husband wasn't. I like to call my husband, he likes to see from the sidelines what's going on. And he honors it, and he thinks it's cool. It's just not something that he's a big participant in. And so people that knew me thought it was amazing that we could still grow, even though we were kind of operating in some level in two different ways. But then friends and even strangers would ask us how long we've been together. And I know we're not the only couple who's remained in love. There are other couples who are blessed to experience being in love and having their soulmate or feeling that they're in their ideal relationship. But what bothered me was that people tend to think about this as being one of the fortunate ones, that it's just luck. And it's not the case. And certainly it's not the case if one of you is really into your personal journey of growing and evolving. And that is what led me to feel so compelled to share this work. One of the reasons that I had to share this work is that I see how people look at our relationship. And while on some level it's flattering, I appreciate that they can tell how in love my husband and I are because of how we look at each other even after being together almost 20 years. It bothers me that they are buying into illusion. All my work is about having people get past illusions as an individual, as well as the illusions they carry into their relationships. The illusion isn't our relationship. We aren't trying to flaunt anything, show anything. Our love is something people just feel when they're around us. But the illusion is this. The first illusion is that it's luck, which means they put themselves in a category that they are less lucky. And it wasn't that I was unlucky in my previous relationship where I asked for my needs to be met only to feel like I was banging my head against the wall. And to underneath this feel too needy and even sometimes unlovable. It was that I didn't know what I needed to do differently to cause different results in my relationship at that time. For a long time, I didn't want to admit that I did something different either because I didn't want to seem ungracious about the amazing person I married. I mean, he is amazing. And so it took me a long time to own this. But what I started to realize was that when hearing about other relationship models out there, they weren't grabbing me. And here's why. I felt like they were coming from more of a place of pain than love when it came to their relationship strategies. I would hear what they were saying, but it just didn't feel right to me because it was more about learning how to play together in the sandbox, so to speak, and get along rather than have the deep love we desire to experience. And this leads me to my second reason for wanting to share, which is I truly believe from everything that I am seeing that the current relationship model is cracking and falling apart. We know the statistics, and we know that the statistics of divorce have increased as women have become more independent. So why then do we insist on strategies that are about how to get along? Because I am sorry to break the news, but getting along is no longer enough. It used to be enough when women were more dependent, but they aren't any longer. And we can freak out and think that the shift in relationship is a bad thing, or we can learn to change how we think and behave in relationships, a way that honors the sacredness to what each partner brings. This is what is sorely missing. We have lost the sacredness to our relationships, and we are desperately needing strategies that allow each partner to show up in the truth of who they are. And that is what you are going to discover on today's call. I'm going to teach you a whole new approach to creating your ideal relationship through shifting out of today's relationship model and into what I call sacred relationship. I'm going to give you as much as I can in our time together today so that you can begin to apply the components to creating a sacred relationship in your own relationship that will truly be transformative. So I'm going to give you some of the tools you're going to need to heal your relationship challenges, how to reclaim a more intimate connection, and deepen your relationship to become more of your ideal so that you feel loved and seen and understood and wanted and remain that way for years to come. And today specifically, we are going to look at the three secrets to creating your ideal relationship that without knowing can create distance, challenges, lack of trust, and greater wounding of each other that can ultimately keep you from the deep, intimate connection you truly desire. For most relationships, the way you interact with your partner doesn't change that much, and it only leads your relationship to hope you can maintain the level of closeness you do have, or year after year feel more unfulfilled in one way or another. So if we don't learn to navigate our relationships in a new model, this can impact your life, or at least impact your life for as long as you're with your partner. And if you can't figure these three crucial relationship components out, you may experience relationship after relationship that feels unfulfilling. The way you think about relationships is either going to leave you locked in a state where your ideal can never be met, or where you can feel like you are constantly fighting to have your needs met versus shifting your paradigm, where your relationship needs are filled with love and ease. So the first secret we are going to cover today is secret number one, create true intimacy. Now for some of you, this seems totally obvious, right? But it's not because here's the thing, what I've found. Couples actually do not know what true intimacy is a lot of times. And in fact, most people unknowingly totally avoid it, especially women. Here's why. True intimacy is not just love, connection, and passion. True intimacy is getting in there with each other's negative feelings. And what do most couples do? Most avoid these feelings. And you may be surprised how often women avoid their partner's emotion. Now, there's a couple things going on here as to why this is happening or what may be contributing to this. First, even though women have been known to be more emotional, it does not mean we are all comfortable with our emotions or know how to handle our feelings from love versus fear. So if you have feelings that are that either haven't been fully addressed in yourself or you don't know how to handle, unconsciously, you won't want to handle your partner's either, whether you're a man or a woman. The other issue is something Brené Brown talked about in her book, Daring Greatly, where she speaks a lot about the gift of vulnerability. She points out how men are still unconsciously expected to be the emotional rock, which actually takes away from their ability to be vulnerable. I have seen this in my own work as well, where men often feel that they are limited to two emotions, and that's anger and frustration. Maybe a little sad, but not that much. And so what happens is that men feel stuck because if they express too much anger without knowing the love that is underneath that anger, they'll feel like jerks. And because often the unconscious and unspoken rules are that men can feel a little, but not a lot, means they have this pent-up emotion that they don't know how to handle either. So what I've seen time and again with couples is that just when one person is at their peak of vulnerability, the other partner unknowingly sabotages the opportunity to connect. The problem is neither partner has no idea that they are doing this to each other. In fact, both partners' communication patterns have unconsciously been created to avoid this level of intimacy because unconsciously each person is afraid to go there with each other or go there to the depths that they need to with each other. This happens even in relationships where each partner feels they share openly. Yes, you may share openly, but it doesn't mean you know when your partner is on the tip of vulnerability or that you can see your own patterns to try to avoid that vulnerability. Time and again, I have seen through the couple's work that I have done how one person is on the verge of intimacy and the other partner unconsciously takes the discussion in a totally different direction. I'm there when I'm working with couples yelling, stop, and sure enough, every time I do, the person that was just on the tip of vulnerability is now in full-blown expression, often sobbing. Each and every time, the partner who is not experiencing the vulnerability in that moment had no idea. They had no idea that their soulmate was at this level of depth emotionally. They're literally in shock that they were inhibiting that expression. And what I've done is been able to take those methods, those tools that I've used with couples and to begin to teach this to individuals so that they can begin to make these own shifts through their own awareness of how they may be, as an individual, stopping intimacy and why that is. So let's take Sherry, because Sherry came to me because although most of the time her relationship was doing pretty well, she also felt isolated at times by her husband, John. On the outside, most people look at Sherry and John as already having the ideal relationship. But what others don't know is how John at times will wall himself off or just lose himself on the computer. And Sherry learned to just let him be and has gone on to spend more time with her girlfriends and doing her things on her personal development journey, yoga and painting and all those fun things. She shared with me that although she knows that she is loved by John, when he shuts down, she feels left out and disconnected. After giving Sherry a few tools, I told her to take notice and see if she can sense when her husband is about to shut down. Now, to do this, she has to listen inside herself to feel that happening. When she senses that, I told her, note what you normally do and don't do it. Sure enough, Sherry reported back to me how ecstatic she was. She could not believe what she experienced. For the first time, she saw that before her husband shuts down, he often expresses something in anger. And this anger triggers Sherry to feel like a little girl, which leads her to cower and look to ways to try to fix his anger. So instead of doing that, she didn't cower and she just listened. She listened in the way that I guided her. And sure enough, within a matter of seconds, her husband had actually broken down to her rather than wall himself off. So again, rather than that usual wall that she felt go up and him leaving her so he can go off to his cave, she felt closer to her husband than ever, more than ever. And John shared how he too has longed for this level of connection. And they now had an intimacy to be on board together to see what else is holding them back from handling their negative feelings with true intimacy. it only took one positive experience to recognize that this was a significant piece that was missing in how they communicated. And John was so grateful that Sherry opened up to him, and especially opening up to this new understanding, that he wanted to see what was coming up for him as well. The deeper the emotional intimacy became, the greater their passion lit up. It's been some time now since I worked with Sherry, but she does report back, and she reports back how they've learned to handle emotional intimacy has maintained a level of intimacy that they never knew was possible. For most people, emotional intimacy is a challenge because we haven't been taught a loving approach to our negative feelings. You have your subconscious beliefs and reactions about certain feelings, and so does your partner. The key is being able to understand the exact point when vulnerability is trying to come in, how to support and encourage those feelings within your partner, and allow them to be a positive catalyst for change within your relationship. In my Art of Sacred Relationships program, I go into great depth in how to create real emotional intimacy. First, in Module 1, you'll learn how to stop the normal patterns to your communication style and understand why you respond the way you do. Then you'll find out how to, instead, you can create the space to be more open with your communication in order to create vulnerability. And through this sense of vulnerability, you will be able to handle whatever emotional expression comes through in a supportive manner. And this not only brings healing towards yourself, but also towards your partner as well. With this healing, you'll be shown how to recreate this over and over so that you continue to feel greater intimacy together. And I'm going to share with you more about how you can do this in a few minutes, but right now let's move on to secret number 2, which is believe in your partner's truth, not their story. And this one's huge, so listen up, listen up. When you fall in love with someone, all you see is their best, or how I like to see it as in you see them in their highest self. Your partner's highest self is the truth of who he or she is. And your highest self is the truth of who you are. In the beginning of love, what is actually happening is that you and your partner are seeing each other and believing in each other's highest self. This is reflected in the way you look at each other, admire each other, and honor each other. And this is actually the beauty of love, because if you are like most people, you have days when you are feeling your best and other days where self-doubt comes in. In the beginning of a relationship, and one partner is having an off day, the other partner is there to comfort you. What most couples don't realize is that what you are doing is to support your partner to come back into his or her truth, which is their highest self. What happens then is that the longer you are in a relationship with someone, the more you witness each other's off days. And there is going to be a time when you aren't just witnessing your partner's off day, it is also going to negatively impact you. And if it happens again and again and again, not only are you going to get hurt, you are going to be doing, what you're unconsciously going to be doing is buying into your partner's story. You see, each of us has a story about why we believe we aren't really our true highest selves. We each believe there is something about us that makes us somehow not measure up to who we truly are. I have my own stories, you have your own stories, and your partner or spouse has her or his own stories too. The moment you start buying into parts of your partner's story, or he or she starts buying into yours, the relationship is not the same. You will not see into each other's eyes and have reflected back to you what you yearn to see. Because what you are both truly yearning for is to be seen not in your small self stories, but to be seen in your truth. When Scott, a marriage counselor, came to see me, he was feeling disappointed about his marriage because he was no longer feeling fulfilled. His wife, Lisa, was great, and she was a great mother to their daughter, but he honestly felt like a piece of old furniture in her eyes. Scott felt their relationship was very stale and lacked passion. And he also admitted that he was disappointed in Lisa. When they got married, she was full of life and adventuresome and had a great job that supported their adventures. But shortly after they were married, she needed a break from the corporate world, and he totally supported that. What then transpired was her searching to find her passion. Now, rather than find passion for life, Lisa appears completely wrapped up in their daughter's life and not in a healthy way. On one hand, Scott appreciated her and her supportive role for their family, because she did so much. She usually cooked and did laundry and took amazing care of their daughter. Yet he resented that most of his spouse's energy went to their child, and at least not some of it to him. When he tried to talk to Lisa about this in the past, no matter how gentle he was, and let's face it, he's a therapist, so he knew how to do it gently, Lisa was still devastated and ashamed. When I shared with Scott how he was viewing his wife from her stories rather than her truth, he got it, and he completely agreed. I guided him to write a letter to her, which included an apology for not holding his end of the agreement in their sacred relationship. When Lisa received this letter, she was shocked, she was surprised, and still a bit hurt, but for the first time, she could hear him. She immediately saw the difference between needing to make some changes and desiring to make changes. With some guidance and tools from the Art of Sacred Relationships, Scott remained in his wife's truth rather than her story, as well as he stayed in his own truth rather than get caught up in his own story. And in doing so, Lisa gradually felt more empowered rather than being caught in her old story of not being enough. And in a matter of months, she had a new job, and she shifted the relationship into becoming a major priority, which allowed Scott to feel more seen and loved and supported, and then the passion grew. So if you find yourself buying into your partner's stories, know that he or she is also likely buying into some of yours. What I want you to know is that on some level, it is easier to buy into your partner's stories and he or she into yours. That's the easier thing to do because it allows you both to be in the blame game. And when you blame, it means you have no responsibility. It's the other person's fault. That's when you look at your partner and wonder why he or she doesn't care more, why they aren't showing up for you how you need them to. And because your focus is on your partner and not you, nothing can be fixed, so it seems, because your partner won't change. But what's happening is that this leaves your partner to feel defensive, and the vice versa is happening when your partner is unconsciously doing the same to you. So then you start to answer those questions of why isn't your partner showing up in your own mind. And here's the interesting piece. When you aren't conscious of how you are buying into your partner's story rather than their truth, the reason you come up with as to why he or she is not meeting your needs or is letting you down is always the shameful story your partner has about him or herself. Do you see that? So what I'm saying is the reason why that you come up with to blame your story actually fuels your partner's shameful story that they have about themselves. And they're doing the same back to you. So now what happens is when you look at each other, you don't see the reflection of your highest selves. You see in them what they shame about themselves. And they see in you what you unconsciously shame within yourself. So is it any wonder then why you don't feel connected? Because on some level, neither of you want to be connected if your false self is what is being reflected back to each other. So the great news is that all of this can be course corrected. The trick is learning both how to own your peace rather than blame. And at the same time, you need to know how to also not take on so much responsibility that it unconsciously takes you away from your partner's ability to claim what they need for themselves as well. In Module 2 of the Art of Sacred Relationships, I will teach you how the balanced way to course correct your relationship when this blame game has been going on and make the necessary changes towards transformation in your relationship. I can't even begin to tell you how much this one secret is missing from people's lives and what a huge game changer this alone is. It seems unbelievable, but I can just feel it when someone feels seen again. And that is the key to also feeling in love again. And you know as well as I do that you can't fake that in love feeling. It's an energy and one that you can learn to recreate and then maintain throughout your relationship when you apply the secret to your life. So no more buying into your partner's stories, their shame-filled story. Now for the third and final secret that some of you are going to just be blown away by, because where I'm going to guide you to go with secret number 3 is to stop looking to your partner to show you what you don't believe about yourself. So each of us has our own work to do with loving ourselves. And I truly believe this is a lifelong process. As much as people believe they are good at loving themselves, your relationship will allow you to see if this is true or not. The degree of self-love you have is literally mirrored back to you. Your relationship is just demonstrating to you at what level you believe in having your needs met or not. So here's why loving and honoring yourself at this level actually brings the relationship together. Because when you love yourself at that level where you claim your needs within your relationship, you desire your partner to do the same for himself or herself as well. And when you are both loving your own self, you are more likely to be operating in your highest self. You doing this for yourself means you value yourself, and that is attractive because people who value themselves find themselves more worthy. The more you reflect your own worth, the beauty is you're supporting your partner to feel the same in him or herself. It just makes sense. People who truly know their self-worth choose worthy partners. And this is how you continue to enhance each other's self-esteem. The problem occurs when we aren't loving ourselves and honoring our needs, as we are each called to do for ourselves. When this is happening, we'll unconsciously look to get our partner's approval. So we're not loving ourselves, we're not claiming our needs. And then we put those things, our needs out there in a way where we're looking to get our partner's approval about having those needs met. And when you are looking outside yourself for any form of validation, you don't receive it. And this isn't your partner's fault. The universe can only mirror back to you what you truly feel inside of you. It's just how it works. What this means is even those who already feel that they do love and honor themselves, is that there are blind spots where your self-love is looking to expand. It's just that you aren't yet aware of these spots. The issue is that when you don't know this blind spot exists, you are unconsciously looking for your partner to heal this for you. When the truth is, you are the only one who can create a greater inner state of love for yourself. What tends to happen when you unconsciously turn to your partner to love an area of yourself that you don't completely own yet, you actually lose a part of who you are. Because unconsciously, you don't believe this part of you is lovable. And so you either try to hide this part of you or manipulate this part of you so he or she doesn't see it. But what happens is that your partner only gets to love a part of you and not all of you. And that will be felt between the two of you. The other piece that starts to happen is you start to resent your partner for not loving you enough. And this is how your relationship will start to unravel. At first, this happens unknowingly. You're not even aware of it. But then the gaps between the two of you become greater and greater. So for this reason, you need to know the difference between your own needs and your relationship needs. And this is one of those we have a hard time determining without guidance because we are so caught up in our relationship stories. In the Art of Sacred Relationships Module 3, I'm going to take you through a process that helps you differentiate between what are your needs and what are the needs you have for your relationship. So you're not confusing these two and trying to put your needs that you need to care for your own development, unconsciously putting that on your partner to try to take care of and validate and approve that you're worthy enough or lovable enough and all that stuff. So this is one of my favorite processes because participants are always amazed by what they uncover because it's never what they're thinking it is. And that's what I love about Amanda's story because when she started this course, her and her husband were in a bad place. She told me that they hadn't had sex in years. They barely had any like physical connection at all and rarely talked. I mean, they were like roommates that didn't talk. And Amanda was trying to do everything right and not be too needy. But whatever she did, her husband just seemed to retreat further and further away from her. It got to a point that he didn't even want to have meals with her as he felt that she was just overwhelming. After a few lessons into the course, she reported something that rocked her to her core. She had always believed that when her relationship is in this dire of circumstances, it would have had to take the both of them to make a change. She was utterly shocked by his responses to her after following the Art of Sacred Relationships process. She shared how it almost seemed impossible, but all she did was follow the process guidance, and her husband started making shifts along with her. She felt dumbfounded and yet thrilled that their relationship could take such a dramatic turn in such a short time. So some people fear, can one person really shift a relationship? But the truth of it is, we see it all the time in a negative way. When one partner gets more involved with work or friends, more than they're involved in their relationship, or one person has an affair, or one person loses themselves in depression or an addiction, right? We see it all the time. So it stands to reason that if one person can shift your relationship negatively, one can shift your relationship positively as well. And this is what each of us want, right? We have a desire to know how to be that positive impact in our relationship that completely changes the dynamic between you and your partner. The problem is few of us understand how we get in our own way to have the intimacy we desire, and how we get in our partner's way for them to show and show up how we need them to. And so instead we try to give what we can, yet it never seems enough because nothing really changes. So there is an effort to be made here to create an evolution of your relationship. Because let's face it, your relationship is not going to stay the same. Like, this is another one of these illusions and myths that we have to break. Your relationship is either going to evolve or it's going to further crack. And that's going to happen whether you're consciously aware that you're cracking more or not. You just have to choose and be wise about this for the future of your relationship. Because there's just too much to lose if you don't. And so if you fall into that illusion that your relationship is going to stay the same, it's not. It changes and evolves because we change and evolve. And you just have to recognize that it's got two ways to change and evolve. And trust me, I truly get how it seemingly is easier to ignore the cracks. It is easier to stay busy with work or the kids and to keep on trucking along like all is normal, because even though things aren't great, they're not terrible. I see it all the time when I work with couples. They try to avoid opening the can of worms. They're afraid of what will happen. Yet, I'll tell you, it's that can of worms that's so filled with their fears that is actually what not only saves their relationship, but deepens their love and connection for one another if they don't wait until the cracks create devastating consequences. So although you may not want to listen to that voice inside of you that is guiding you to a deeper knowing of what you and your relationship need right now, dismissing it will only make matters worse. You've been on your own personal growth journey long enough to know that the more you ignore your inner voice, the worse things get. There is a choice to be made, and you have to decide which part of you that you are going to listen to. Which part of you is going to guide you to the action you next take for your relationship. You can choose that right now is the time that you make true amends with your relationship by aligning yourself with the part of you that knows things need to be done differently. Things need to be done differently in order for your relationship to make the changes you desire to have between you and your partner. So I invite yourself to come from that place within you that is aligned with your vision for what you desire in your relationship, and ask that part of you what has opened for you in our conversation together today. What do you need to develop within yourself so you can have the level of connection, intimacy, and love that you crave to experience with your partner? What will replenish you both as a couple so you both feel seen and understood? I invite you to connect with that part of you that can understand that your relationship has brought you to this place in order that you can both grow and do so together so that you have a partner to share your journey with as you evolve. You doing so is you saying yes to you, to the love you have within you that wants and needs to be fully expressed with a partner, This is you saying yes to building the relationship of your dreams. Yes to you breaking free of what holds the two of you back from the intimacy and connection you crave. Yes to grow beyond old patterns that hold you back. And yes to feeling free to be completely loved for who you are. I want you to know I am with you and honor you for knowing that you deserve this type of partnership and that you deserve an expression of love in your life that feels fulfilling and ideal to you. It is time for your relationship desires to be fed and nurtured. Earlier in the call, I shared with you that I would tell you more about the details about the Art of Sacred Relationships program. And as you've heard me mention, relationships have changed so immensely that it only makes sense that the current relationship model is cracking. Because not only are the roles and relationships different, but people are evolving at much faster rate than they have in centuries. And luckily, we're also staying alive longer to experience all the juiciness that life offers as we continue to live more and more authentically from our truth. The problem is how the old model has no idea how to keep up with this level of evolution and growth. The type of evolution and growth that's taking place right now, and how to negotiate the individual shifts with a partner who isn't exactly on the same path as you. And it's because I have lived this experience of being dedicated to my own journey, while I have a husband who is more of a spectator, that I had to figure out how we'd grow together. So although I'm thrilled that our relationship has continued to evolve, what I haven't liked hearing is that people thought it was just special to us. We were the lucky ones to remain in love after all these years. When I would hear things like that, there was a part of me screaming inside that you can have this too. You just need to have the tools to navigate your relationship in this new era. And I proved these tools were transferable to the couples I worked with. The problem is, I would see individual clients whose spouses were more like mine, more in the spectator role and less into participating. So I thought, okay, can I transfer this over to one person and totally change a relationship? And let me tell you, the answer was a huge yes. I was so freaking excited that I knew I wanted to get these concepts and processes in the hands of as many people as I could. And that is how the Art of Sacred Relationships was born. So let me share with you what this program is about and how you alone can lead your relationship to transformation. So if you are at a computer, I'm going to invite you to, if you're on the webinar, you can just go to the tab that says Art of Sacred Relationships. Or if you're by your computer, you can type in http://michellebursell, that's michellebersell.com. /sacred relationships, relationships, http://michellebursell.com/sacred-relationships/. Or if you're just listening, and listening to the replay, you're on the page already. If you're listening live, just you can listen along. I'll be sharing all the details. And so I'm going to take you through the 5 weeks of the course. And as you listen, I'd like to invite you to join me. so I can be your guide on how to break out of old patterns that don't serve you and enter this new model of sacred relationships. So let's start here with model one, uncover the relationship wound. And this is about learning what makes this new model of relationship different. And it's really coming from a place of deep honor and respect for your partner. And one of the amazing pieces about this is that I'm going to take you through a process about creating and defining your relationship ideal. And in doing so, it really helps you get out of the blame and excuses and what's really going on at a core level within you. And the best part about this process is that I have a unique way of supporting you get to this unconscious piece that allows you to let go of being into your partner's story. And there's going to be a huge shift that happens within you just in module one. And when the shift happens, you're going to understand the root to your relationship challenges. So that's module one. Module two is about learning how to live the ideal relationship. And what we're really doing is I'm going to take you through another process where we bring out each other's highest self. And you're going to learn how to do this for yourself. And then in doing this, you're actually going to be unknowingly to your partner, guiding them to do the same. And it's just one of those things that how you are showing up in the relationship will absolutely impact how your partner shows up as well. And this is when things get exciting, because suddenly you're in each other's, you're in your own highest self space, and you're experiencing your partner's highest self space, and this is when dramatic changes can occur. And because basically what's happening is you are accessing your deeper truth and living from it in relationship, and you're helping your partner to do the same. And in doing so, you are completely reevaluating how you have shown up in your relationship, all those expectations that have been there about relationship, and changing this to you responding from your highest self. And when you do that, again, your partner ends up doing the same. You become this like model for your relationship that, and it's not about teaching, it's just, it's a way you're showing up. In module number three, claim relationship needs from love. It's all about learning what you need to do to let go of some things that have happened from the past, to work on this piece of forgiveness, and where you can come in and start claiming your relationship needs in a way that honors you and your partner. And it's also in this you're differentiating your needs from your relationship needs, which I told you is a big piece for people just being able to understand that, and then learning what you need to let go of. And you know, with that letting go piece, there is often a piece that you're afraid to let go of. And so I'm going to take you by the hand and walk you through that so that doesn't become so scary. And when you're able to do this, you are going to show up with your needs in such a loving way. It's just, time and time again, people are shocked that how their partner responds to them and then, of course, wants to meet your needs. I mean, I just come from a perception where I've always believed that if we're in partnership with someone, they want to give this to us. We just need to have the tools to be able to support them to do that. And again, you learning to do this with them will help them do the same. Next, we move into module four, which is emotional intimacy. And this is really the crux of my work of decades in understanding our emotions from an empowered approach, which most people don't know how to do, even as an individual. So we're going to be getting into that. And then from this empowered approach, how you can let go of those fears that you've had about negative feelings in the past, because you're going to be responding from them from love rather than fear. And you're still going to be in your truth about emotion. They're just going to be your truth isn't going to be coming from a fearful state. And so you're just going to show up differently in your emotional truth that's going to allow you and your partner to see each other in a way you haven't been able to before. And this is where the connection truly just deepens and enriches your relationship at such a level that you have a bond and a trust between each other that you want to honor and respect and protect. So that's module 4. Module 5, lasting desire. And this is about how we bring in the physical, how we celebrate the physical between each other, how we create connection on a physical level while also on a soulful level. And it's really about making this connection a priority, but an easy priority, and supporting each other to experience each other in a way that you haven't before. And this is where, I mean, these exercises can be as simple or as deep as you'd like them to be. And in doing so, you have the opportunity to enhance your passion and desire, as well as deepen and explore your sacred sexual connection. And having this expression between the two of you is such a joy and gift that gets to be shared between two people. And this is the sacredness, you know, to experience the oneness when you are with another. And how this is all going to be given to you, how you're going to take all this information in is through a 5-week course. And so we're going to do these courses live, where I'm going to be teaching you the tools, techniques, the processes to get you out of this old paradigm and into sacred relationships. And this is starting on March 10th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 p.m. Pacific on Mondays. And again, if you can't make it to the live class, all classes are recorded and you can submit questions in between classes. You're also going to get the recordings of each module, and these will be for your files, MP3s that you can listen to over and over again. And that's what I've loved hearing about my students in previous Art of Sacred Relationships classes, that this is something that they do, because there's just like so much juiciness in these classes and this time that we have together, that like the first time they're taking it in on one level, and then you just want to go back and like hear the elements, like now that you got that one piece down and understood your part in it, it's like, okay, what do I need to go back to and hear again? And I've loved my students because, you know, they've shared, like, I've listened to them 5 times. I just love what I'm hearing. I'm getting something new each time. So that's what we're going to offer, as well as the PDF transcripts. So if like the note-taking element to this is more helpful to you, you can review, print, highlight the insights and practices that that you want to take in from each lesson. And then I'm also going to invite you to do deepening practices between each class. And this is really the actionable piece of this that's going to support you to really make an effective change within your relationship and how you can begin doing that. And then a special bonus that is a part of this program is about making it stick, because I want you to have a bonus training session where after we do this class together that we have an open training session where you can ask your personal questions and receive my guidance, that so that you know you're on course and that you can remain on track, and show you how to deepen all that you have learned. And so I just encourage you to take in also what others have said about this course. One of the messages was about how this whole course is about giving us new ways every day to redo, retry, reunite, renew, recreate our relationships. And I just love how this student shared it so beautifully. And there's a few others. I couldn't put them all on there, but I just had to share how relationship changing this can be. And you know, really, your relationship cannot remain stagnant because you and your partner aren't stagnant. You're both changing as individuals, and even if those changes don't always feel positive, they are happening in order that you both can come on board together and claim a deeper level of love. And that really is like the beauty of this and the sacredness of this. And I hope that you can see you have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to get to the core of what stops you from receiving the love you desire, and instead learn how to create that in your life. And so that you can keep experiencing love at a level that you never knew was possible. That's what keeps me doing this work. When I hear that couples who have been together for decades and they're experiencing a depth of love they didn't know was possible, that excites me. And that is my desire for you too. For those of you who are with me live, please stay on the line with me. But first, I need to thank everyone who has listened to this conversation. And thank you for being with me. I wish you all the love in life you desire and more.